listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Expecting John Nichols from The Nation, a good friend. He'll be joining us very shortly, I feel quite confident. John's also authored a brand new book, Coronavirus Criminals and the Pandemic Profiteers. So we'll talk with John shortly. In the meantime, perhaps you could join us, 844-967-2789. So, you know, we might have to jump forward here. I know John's got lots of media events because he's promoting a new book. But in the meantime, we might have to play a little bit more of my conversation with Ron Johnson earlier today. I was going to save some of this for later, but, you know, I don't want to tease you too long. So anyways, do you recall what Ron said just yesterday? Evan, you know, because we've got the sound and we're going to play it for the people. Cut number 6. This was Ron Johnson on WKBT. That's a La Crosse TV station, La Crosse, Wisconsin. And Senator Ron Johnson was talking. Apparently the question was about child care. But here was Ron's response. Play it for the people. Cut 7.
People decide to have families and become parents. That's something, you know, they need to consider when they make that choice. I've never really felt it was society's responsibility to take care of other people's children.
It was never society's responsibility to take care of other people's children. We got a fine guest. He's joined us right now. We'll come back with the Ron Johnson thoughts. But welcome, John Nichols from The Nation. Our good friend, John, welcome back.
Well, I don't want to interrupt Ron Johnson.
Well, that was yesterday's Ron. I got exclusive today, Ron, to share with you.
I know you're tracking the guy. It's a very fascinating important endeavor. I'm glad that you're willing to make the sacrifice so that the rest of us can stand a little bit clear. Is he vaccinated yet?
I suspect he's not, because he said he had had COVID and therefore he didn't need to get vaccinated. Yeah. And just because we've got mask mandates in Dayton County didn't mean the U.S. Senator was going to wear a mask. So he was not wearing a mask coming from indoors.
You took something of a risk here.
I was wearing a mask and I'm fully vaccinated and boosted. I mean, John, I've been covering wackadoodle Republican events, you know, Stop the Steal, all that stuff, man. I've been out there in these crowds all year long. I'm fully immunized, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you better watch out talking about that, though, because you develop that theory out, you'll be testifying at a Ron Johnson hearing in no time.
Well, he did make many references to that today, John. The U.S. Senator, he was cordial, he shook my hand. It'd been a while, I haven't seen Ron in like a year and a half. And I did follow him outside, but John, I had already used up all my patience with him the second question I asked. And I was actually asking a win-win. I was going to ask him about the GDP, the record numbers, and then I knew he'd pivot to inflation and blame it on Joe Biden, but I figured he couldn't have one without the other, and he wouldn't even accept a second question from me, John. Said questions from that side of the panel.
Yeah, I'm not overly surprised. I think he's lost his, whatever skills he had at kind of handling skeptical questions or challenging questions has pretty much slipped away as he has spent more and more time kind of in like conspiracy theory world. And my sense is that he probably hasn't quite recovered from that hearing he had the other day. I think it was Monday, where he had like all the vaccine, everybody who had been fired from their job for being like too crazy about COVID. He got them all in a room. Right. And I know. Did you watch the hearing on Monday?
I did not catch any of the hearing, but I did see some of the transcript testimony. John, they were all what? Vaccine deniers, mask deniers, science deniers.
The whole bit. Yeah. But they couldn't even agree. And they kept interrupting each other. They were so excited that someone was listening to them. And it was like it was a bizarre session, too. They had it like, it looked like in kind of like a broom closet. They were sitting on like folding chairs around tables how you try and make a table look good, but you put like a sheet over it or something so it looks like it's got a little
kids table on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it looked, it did look like, you know, and then there was indeed kind of a main table that Ron Johnson sat at. And then there was sort of a kid table over to the side, which like it sort of even loonier people were at. And you could tell, as often happens among the kind of delusional, they were sort of like upset when some other person was getting like a really good delusion off. And so they would interrupt and say, no, 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 it's like this. And at one point, Ron Johnson said, this is probably a little confusing to the public, right? No kidding. It was a total chaos. But he did actually speak the truth, without a doubt.
In what way? What truth did Ron speak?
He basically said at one point, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, he said, like, everyone in this room has been accused of spreading misinformation and disinformation. And there was no doubt that that was in fact true. The only thing that he didn't, you know, he might have added a little additional clause onto that sentence to say, and those accusations were correct.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's our good friend John Nichols from The Nation, and he's the author of a new book, Coronavirus Criminals and Pandemic Profiteers. John, first and foremost, does U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, is he featured? Does he get a chapter in the book?
He gets a whole chapter all to himself. And it's completely legitimate. I've done a lot of interviews around the country. We just did a big event last night in San Francisco for a launch on the book. And I have yet to have anybody say, oh, why'd you put Ron Johnson in there? There's a general agreement that he belongs. And the question, of course, whether it's in the criminal side or the pandemic side, that's a little profiteer side, that's a little complex. But no, there's 17 chapters or 17 individuals and organizations that I look at that I argue in the book made a terrible situation dramatically worse. And my suggestion is that we really have to have some form of accountability, because as the Lancet study, the British medical journal Lancet, said, in the first year of the pandemic, 40% of the deaths were unnecessary. That we had hundreds of thousands of people who got sick and died, who didn't have to get sick and die. And so we have to ask ourselves, who is responsible for that? Who created the situation where we had so much unnecessary suffering in America, both from the pandemic directly, but also as regards the economic fallout from it? And as you might guess, a lot of people in the Trump administration got their due in the book. And I've got chapters on the former president, the former vice president, of course, Jared Kushner, who screwed up the supply chain horribly in the midst of it all. But I've also got a number of senators, Ron Johnson, as might be expected, Rand Paul gets a chapter. And then there's some other folks. And I will say, because you do such good work in Wisconsin, that there is a chapter on Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley.
Hmm. Well, I don't want to go there quite yet, John. let's sort of differentiate. Ron's take on this coronavirus is maybe not for personal financial gain. He's not a grifter in the same way that the Trumps are, maybe Alex Jones or some that are selling these crazy snake oil sort of remedies, but he's still pushing crazy snake oil remedies. And at the end of the day, he is still using the wedge issues. And he sees this as a political expediency issue, John, at least in my opinion. Ron sees political upside in this sort of coronavirus crazy.
Yeah, I would agree with you very much. And I do think that, Ron Johnson is a different kind of grifter, right? He's a political grifter. And he's using a crisis to advance himself politically, to make himself a more relevant figure than what he's been. And remember, Ron Johnson's challenge has always been that he is so boring and so uninteresting that most people don't even know he's their senator. The polls, the Marquette polls invariably show that again and again, and maybe it'll change now that he's become the king of conspiracy theories. But for a long time, you know, well into his tenure as a senator, the overwhelming portion of people couldn't express an opinion regarding him, because you know, they were just like, he was an asterisk next to Mitch McConnell, right? He was not a, a particularly interesting or relevant figure, but he has clearly, in the great tradition of Joe McCarthy, decided that he will spout conspiracy theories. He'll go, you know, to extremes as a tool to rile up his base, to get his supporters excited and engaged, and frently, to I think curry favor with his, you know, obviously, you know, favorite icon politically, Donald Trump. And you'll remember back in 2016, Ron Johnson used to talk about he and Trump as the Ronald and the Donald. And, you know, he had this weird kind of fascination with Trump. And now, by embracing, you know, ideas that are even crazier than Trump's in a lot of cases, he has made himself arguably, I would say, you can challenge me on this, Trump's favorite senator.
Well, I won't challenge you on that. I think he... Here's something interesting. Here in the state of Wisconsin, Vice News just dropped an article. They say effectively the GOP of the state of Wisconsin is being torn apart by the big lie. In that, the grassroots is so believing of the big lie, they want more action. They want real action. They want the overturning of the Electoral College in the state of Wisconsin in the last election. And it's sort of... it's sort of driving this wedge into the GOP. John, do you think because of the engagement level of the grassroots, I mean, the fascination with Donald Trump is the fact that Trump exceeded Ron Johnson's vote total and Ron had the record number for Republicans. So I think he thinks that's where all the fun's at. That's where all the votes are at. The votes are to the right of the Republican Party at this point, at least here in Wisconsin, John.
I think you're right. And although one thing you can be sure of is the Wisconsin Republican Party will quickly readjust to, you know, kind of run to get ahead of the parade. Right. And so if the voters have moved to a more extreme place, you're going to see a lot of Republicans go there. Remember, if you're counting on Robin Voss to, you know, kind of protect you from the nuts, that isn't going to last for long because Robin Voss has never had the courage to say, hey, this isn't true. Right. You know, he always kind of dances around, and you're right. He's in a conflict now with one member who challenged him. And at this point, Voss is, you know, still seeking to punish that member. But I can tell you that if Donald Trump comes along and says, no, I kind of like what this other guy is saying, this Rathbun is saying, you're going to see Voss readjust to it. And that's, remember, Voss at one point, you know, like this is around the holidays, I think, he flew down to Alabama with Trump. I mean, who in their right mind, right? Who wants to get on an airplane with Donald Trump and fly to Alabama? It wasn't, you know, some sort of, you know, delight or something he enjoyed. That was something he was forced to do. That's like a trip you're forced to go on to visit your aunt that you don't really like, right? With your parents, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. And so he goes down there. And then he comes back and suddenly we've got Gableman and all this stuff like this. So I would challenge the Vice argument in this regard. They say the Republican Party is being torn apart by this. I will suggest differently. I will bet the Republican Party will be all back together at the new stage of crazy if Donald Trump says that's where it ought to be. And give Ron Johnson credit. Give him a lot of credit because he figured that out before a lot of these other guys. And as far as Ron Johnson is concerned, if there's some sort of nutty place that, you know, it looks like Donald Trump is interested in, Johnson isn't going to just go and occupy that space. He's going to define it. And remember, before January 6th, it was Ron Johnson who was holding hearings, you know, to amplify all of the claims that were made, you know, on January 6th. And similarly, you know how Trump, when Trump said to a rally recently that he was vaccinated and boosted and got booed for that? And Ron Johnson's never going to get booed, right? He's gone way out to where they're at, and that's where he lives now.
John Nichols, right here, living on the radio with the Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.